Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
From the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center, this is the Boston Bastard Brigade, live at PAX East 2012.
Joining us on Boston Bass Brigade right now is Renee Leswell over at Night Owl Games. Welcome to the B3 crew.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
Now, your game, Dungeon Overlord, is one addicting game. How did you come up with the concept for this?
We were all very much inspired by the classic Dungeon Keeper game, but then we wanted to take it a big step further and introduce the PvP concept to it.
Now, would you say that building your own kingdoms and vanquishing foes is more rewarding than, say, working on a farmland, as it were?
Definitely. It's always a lot more fun to take the evil route. Definitely more fun to be in controlling an evil empire and to go off and take on more territory. And more importantly, to raid other players and take their stuff.
So where did you grab some of the inspiration to create Dungeon Overlord?
Well, aside from, like I said, Dungeon Keeper, there was a lot of other strategy games out there that a lot of our team has played in the past that they were interested in. And I think, you know, just in general, like the whole being evil versus being good is kind of an interesting take that everyone enjoys. It's more fun to go out and kill elves than be an elf.
Very, very true. Now, tell us a little bit about the Succubus Stories, the game's new expansion pack.
So the Succubus Stories, we redid our Succubus character. She's actually one of the minions that you can attract to your dungeon, but she's kind of popular, so we redid her look, and now we found that she's a good person to sort of guide you through the game, to get you started in the storyline, help you understand when you first start playing, like what your goals are and what the story's about as far as like why you're there and that you're rebuilding your empire and that sort of thing.
Why Succubus?
Why not? I mean, she's incredibly alluring, and I don't know if you've seen the new art for her, but she's actually very attractive, so I think most people are interested in the Succubus.
Now, will there be new weapons and worlds in the Succubus Stories?
We don't really have too much new in-game content in that regard. We have added a few more items to our store, our visual items that you can buy. Like, they're non-combat pets that you can craft. You buy the recipes from the store, and then you can craft these stands that are their beds. And then it attracts them to your dungeon, and then they can fly around your dungeon. Like I said, they're non-combat, so they're not participating. They're just visually there. But we did add those more recently. But not really anything in the way of the major gameplay with that regard.
You're also premiering a new app for like smartphones for Dungeon Overlord users. How will this work for the players of that game?
So we're calling it Dogma, which stands for Dungeon Overlord Goblin Manager. And Dogma is this great companion app that you can use on the Android or on the iPhone or something. And then you can use it to do a lot of the sort of tedious things that you log in each day to take care of. Like you can pick up your items that are on the ground. You can craft furniture and other resources that are intermediate resources. You can ship between your dungeons. You can manage your creatures. You can get some of the notifications that you get in game. So if you have an incoming attack from another player, you can get a notification on your phone so you'll know that that's happening. And maybe you need to leave that movie and get back to that computer right away to set up your defenses. There's going to be two versions. There's going to be a free one that has about two or three of those features available in it. And then there will be a $2.99 paid version that you can purchase that we think most people are going to buy. Anyone who's really seriously playing the game is going to love this app. I've been definitely playing it myself for a while, and I really enjoy having it.
Yeah.
$2.99 isn't a bad deal anyway, so pretty cheap. I already asked this beforehand, but just to let the listeners know, is this app a test to see if our phones can handle the Dungeon Overlord game itself?
Yeah, the Dungeon Overlord game is pretty beefy because it runs in Flash, so I don't think the actual game... eventually we're looking into trying to get it on a tablet, maybe, but the game will probably never really work well on a phone, but the app will definitely be the right sort of companion piece you need, so while you're away from the computer, you can sort of do the keeping up with the activities stuff that you need to do.
Now, with the checking up on that, can you do any other, like, selections or interactive, or it's more or less it gives you kind of bars or something along the lines of, like, when you're collecting things, or is it, what would be the main thing of the app to like, help you if you were getting attacked? Was that mainly just to run back and get to your computer and try to save yourself or something along those lines?
So you can, one of the features we have in the game is you can put your creatures on what we call hide, which means that, so say you think there's a big attack coming in that you're not ready for, right? You can go ahead and put your creatures on hide, and your creatures will let the attack come in, let them steal whatever they can get that's on the ground, and if you don't have enough safe storage to cover your storage, they'll take some of that as well. But it's a way to keep your creatures from going into combat mode and then getting killed, and then you're going to have to come back and deal with that. So that's one option that you can do that from the phone. So you can also just make sure all your stuff's picked up. That's a big strategy. Assuming you have enough safe storage to cover so that they can't really steal much, I love to make sure right before they get there I've got all my stuff picked up so they get absolutely nothing. That's a great strategy as well. You can also, if you maybe don't quite have enough safe storage, but you have some nearby dungeons that will accommodate your inventory, and if you have enough goblins to carry the items, you can ship them off right before the guy gets there, so they're headed out the back door with your good stuff. So there's those shipping, collecting the goods, and toggling whether your creatures are on hide or not in your dungeon during the battles is all things you can do from the app.
That's great. I'm glad with that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been playing games and whatnot, and you wish you had like kind of like that app to tell you what's going on in case you're away from your computer, but. So when it gets to that point, do you think you might try to work it onto phones, or just the tablet versions would be probably best for you for this game?
For this game, probably our best bet will be if we can get it to run in the tablet. But there's definitely some work we'll have to do before that'll be ready.
Now with the tablets, is it basically the iTablets or just the Android tablets as well? Do you want to do both tablets or just mainly one?
Honestly, we've mostly, even with the Dogma app, we started with Android and then did the iOS later. So we'll probably, if we go that route, we'd start with Android. I'm not sure exactly what Flash is available for iOS apps yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think something along the lines, one of the Adobe Flash, you can never keep up with them. They update it like every 2 seconds, basically.
A while back, there wasn't any availability on the iOS with the Flash, so.
Yeah.
After Dungeon Overlord, what is next for Night Owl Games? Do you have like the next game planned out?
We don't have a next game specifically planned out. We definitely want to do a next game, and we've certainly had a lot of talk around the office about, you know, what themes or what kind of goals we'd have for what that game would be. Nothing nailed down concrete yet to get started on. We have a few more things we want to do with Dungeon Overlord before we move on. We definitely, like I said, we're currently on Facebook, but we want to make sure and make it more accessible, so we're going to look to get it onto just a .com site. Earlier this year, actually, we have a publishing partner in Korea that launched the game there. So they're playing it in Korea now. So we're interested to see where that goes and potentially, you know, launching it into other markets outside the U.S. as well if that takes off. So we have a few things in the horizon right away for Dungeon Overlord before we quite step out to take on a new project. But it's definitely been talked about.
And the official website, I believe, is dungeonoverlord.com. Renee, thank you so much for joining us on Boston Bash Brigade. And players out there, be sure to give Dungeon Overlord a try. You will lose plenty of hours playing this game.
Yep, we're definitely going to give this a try and put it on Facebook and link it to our website and everything like that so everybody else can give it a try. But yeah, we want to say thank you again for letting us have this interview.
So nice to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
We are here. here at the Twisted Pixel booth with the Chainsaw Man himself, Mr. Matt Chaney. Good morning, good sir.
Hey, how's it going?
So, first of all, this booth is amazing. A total upgrade from what we've seen in the past. And you were saying that this is all home-built by one of your guys over here, Mr. Jay Stuckwich.
Yeah, we really wanted to try to step up our presentation on the booth this year. So Jay made little vignettes for each game. Spent about 3 months in his garage hand-making all these walls and fences and stuff that separate our booth up.
Excellent. And right here at PAX East this year, you are offering these unique challenges that are exclusive to PAX East. I'm looking over here at the mall one where if you eat, what is it, 50 youth?
50. Yeah, we have challenges going on in the mall. If you eat 50 ums in 3 minutes, you're entered a raffle to win a Kinect that's been hand-painted with the Gunstringer on it. For the Gunstringer, we have the El Diablo's American Adventure set up. It's the newest DLC. And if you can reach 30,000 points, I believe, in 3 minutes, then you're entered the raffle for that one. And then we also have a Misplosion Man and Comic Jumper challenges as well.
Awesome. So one of the things that you are showing off this year is Misplosion Man coming to iPads, PC, and iPhones. How will the experience of the game change now that it's been moved to these different devices?
Well, for PC, it's going to be pretty much the same game that you experienced on XBLA. But for the iPhone, iPad, and Windows Phone, we're changing up the game because, you know, it needs to work differently. It's a different system that you're playing on. It has its own needs that we need to address.
So we'll take advantage of some of, like, the motion controls that you can do with, like, the iPhones and Android tablets and everything like that?
I don't know if we can talk about specifics yet, but, yeah, the game will be changed up for those platforms.
Excellent. So outside of Twisted Pixel, I gotta ask this because I've seen you working on your music career. Tell us a little bit about the album that you're working on.
Well, I guess I've kind of always just wanted to write an album. I've started a few times in the past and just abandoned it because of work. You know, I work crazy hours and stuff. But I've finally about finished it up and I think I'm about ready for release.
Now, you were asking people to help out with, I believe, one of the tracks. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, I wrote Around, kind of like Row, Row, Row Your Boat, and I posted it online and asked people to sing along and send me their vocals back, and I think I've had about 20 people so far do it, which is pretty awesome.
You've got all this showing off. I know you guys are working on something new. I don't know if you're going to be able to tell us a little bit about it, or...
Unfortunately, not right now.
Are you going to be showing off more of that at E3?
Yeah, we'll see. Sorry, got to be a little vague.
All right. Matt Chaney, thank you for joining us on the Boston Bass Brigade. Look forward to seeing what the experience of Misplosion Man is going to be like on the iPhones. I actually just bought one myself, so I can't wait to give it a try when it comes out.
Cool. Thanks for stopping by.
All right, we are here at the Hello Games booth, showing off Joe Danger, and I'm here with one of the developers, Sean. Welcome to the Boston Bass Brigade.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
It's going very good. How about with you?
Yeah, good, good. Intense here, but yeah, good.
So, what has changed in the world of Joe Danger?
Well, quite a lot has changed. So, in like the original game, Joe was like a kind of washed-up stuntman, right? He was like in the middle of the desert performing tricks just because he was a little bit crazy. This one, he's been found by like this director and brought to Hollywood to star in a film. So it's kind of a much bigger budget kind of action-packed adventure he's on.
So he's finally become from the Super Dave Osborne's of the stuntmen to now the Evel Knievels.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I like about this Joe Danger the movie is you don't just have the motorcycle. You have like all these different types of vehicles you can use. Tell us a little bit about the new ones that you can play it with.
Yeah, I mean, we've got about like 20 different vehicles. We've got skis, snowmobiles, ATVs, jetpacks, hang gliders, parachutes. Got a view, name it. We've found some way to cram it in. Little unicycles, that kind of thing.
So what are some of the films that inspired the levels that you can play within?
Well, I guess we're kind of kids of the 80s, right? So we like, you know, all good 80s action films. We've got kind of, you know, Indiana Jones or RoboCop or Terminator and things like that. They're like, you know, we try and put little bits of those into the game. You've got Joe in a minecart escaping from like a, you know, a crumbling tomb or whatever. You know, you've got him in the future or going back in time. Just try to have fun with this.
I love how you have the Indiana Jones one called Minecraft, because I bet you that's what Hollywood would do with a Minecraft movie.
Yeah, exactly. I would like to see that.
So what do we have displaying here actually today?
So we've got a whole bunch of new levels and stuff that we haven't showed off before, a bunch of new vehicles that we haven't showed before. One of the big things is that we've got four-player multiplayer, and we've got these kind of ghosts and replays and stuff that we haven't kind of showed off either. They're like proving really popular. So that's like you can race against your friends when they're online, but also when they're offline, it records their best run and you can still race against that.
Kind of speechless right now. This is one of those games that's like, holy crap. You kind of have to see it to believe it, really. It's just, it's one of those, it's amazing, you know, it's colorful.
Now, what about the boss levels? Like, how will those work in the game?
Yeah, so we've got a bunch of kind of bosses, which is something that we wouldn't have had before. Like in one level, you travel back in time, of course, right? And you accidentally smash a bunch of dinosaur eggs. Then the dinosaur starts chasing after you, kind of breathing fire, which dinosaurs do, right? And shooting rocks at you, dropping them on your head. And you've just got to escape from it on like... in one level, you're on like a quad bike escaping from it. In another one, you're on a unicycle.
Now, what I like, too, is very similar to the recent SSX game, is you can race with your friends even when they're not online.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I mean, you know what it's like. I hate a lot of the things that go with multiplayer, actually. I hate lobbies. Yeah. I hate sitting in lobbies. I hate trying to matchmake. I hate finally getting in a game and someone disconnecting. So we have this system that when people are online, then they just start dropping into your game, right? And you can see them and play against them. And if you're friends with them, then it's much more likely that they're going to drop into your game. So you'll just be playing a level and your friends will just pop up. But if you're offline or they're offline, you're still seeing like their best runs that they've ever done, and you can race against them.
What systems are we looking for this to be playing on, and also when is this supposed to be coming out?
So we're like a tiny little team, and we're kind of focused on one thing at a time. So this is 360 that we're showing on, and it's coming out hopefully summer, autumn, something like that, whenever it's finished.
Awesome. Sean, thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to look out for Joe Danger, the movie. Is there a website people can look it up?
Yeah, sure. Hello Games. Basically, just search for Hello Games or Joe Danger. You'll find us.
Thank you so much.
Hello, this is Tag with the Boston Bassett Brigade. I'm sitting here on behalf of one of my friends, Dan, who told me to come down to the Nexus booth, booth 118, Ilphonic. We're looking at a arena first-person shooter. Now, the interesting thing with this is the mutator aspect. Can you please speak a little bit about it?
We have 100 mutators, and they're just really weird and change gameplay tremendously. There's so many different combinations you can do. We have capture the flag mutators. We have everyone mutators. We have, you know, single person mutators. And actually, Dan did do a lot of those.
That's good to hear. Looking at this, we don't have multiplayer, sadly, at this booth right now. We're looking at the bot match. Could you speak a little bit about the multiplayer for this game?
Multiplayer is basically just, you know, 4v4. And it's really hectic. We just launched our Steam beta last night, and we're hoping to just get a bunch of people on there to, you know, text connectivity and stuff like that. So we're really hoping that it's going to hit, you know, real hard, and people are just going to love it because it's a throwback, you know, arena first-person shooter. So basically, I think people are just going to eat it up.
That's great to hear. And it looks like an amazing game sitting here watching it. Does this hold any inspiration from any games that are around right now or not?
Not really. I mean, we wanted to stay away from, like, the normal, you know, Call of Duty type of game. I mean, honestly, in my opinion, it's kind of, like, boring to me playing, you know, Call of Duty. It's basically grenade, throw a bunch of grenades, crouch, lay down, snipe people. I don't know. This is just totally fast-paced, twitch shooter. I mean, you have to stay on your toes. You have to use your mutators, stuff like that. You got to work as a team sometimes. So, you know, like, basically, it's just really super fun.
Now, you said that this is a Steam beta. Is this an open beta? Are people going to be able to try it right now, or will they need to go out and buy it? And what's the price point?
Basically, you can go on Steam right now and get the beta, or, like, we have a flyer. You just have to go to Alienware's website and, you know, sign up for a beta key. The price is going to be $9.99, and you can get it through Steam. We already released it on Xbox Live, so if you have Xbox, you know, you can buy the same price, you know, $9.99. Or I think it's like 1,600 points or 1,400 points or something like that. So whatever $10 equals in gamer points or whatever it's called. So, but yeah, we already have it out on Xbox Live, and it's been doing pretty good. People have been eating it up. Yeah. We have, like, our own forums, and, you know, there's people posting on there helping us out with, like, what they think should be implemented and stuff like that. So, yeah, we've been getting some good feedback from the community so far. So,
and to wrap this up, I'm looking at it, an arena shooter. It has that realistic, not realistic, that futuristic look to it. Yeah, realistic. with all these crazy weapons and the like, what would your favorite weapon be on this?
My favorite weapon actually is the HLAC, the one that he's using right now. It's, I mean, there's no video, so people can't see it, but the HLAC, I like it because it's like really, really like a rapid fire gun. And when you start running towards somebody shooting it, it's kind of just, it's death, like instant death. I mean, we are running it on, you know, CryEngine 3, so it does look really super sexy, and I think everybody's going to like the way it looks and the art style and stuff.
All right, this is Tag at the Ilphonic booth. Nexus, if you guys want to go and pick it up, believe me, it's a good look at it. You got to see it. You got to sit down and give it a try, especially with the beta if you have a PC. All right, have a good day.
Hey, thanks, man.